Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to be joined by the Hall of Famer, Isaac Bruce. Of course, great wide receiver during the greatest show on turf years with the Rams. And he's here to talk about the NFL Players Association, a program called Tackle Reading. And this has to also be in conjunction with Dr. Seuss. In fact, his birthday is March 2nd, and they're going around to schools who will receive a diverse collection of Random House children's books, and every kid will get their own Dr. Seuss book. It's going to have a lot of fun elements like NFL team mascots, cheerleaders, and other things as well. Isaac, welcome to the show. First of all, how cool is it to hear the words Hall of Famer, because we all knew you belong, so how great is it that you're now fully in there with your gold jacket?
First of all, thanks for having me on the show today. But to hear, you know, Pro Football Hall of Famer before my name, it's pretty much confirmation. I mean, it was a name that I called myself before others joined in. But it's always great to hear it. And fortunately, we got another great group coming in this summer. Sterling Sharp being a part of it, Eric Allen being a part of it as well. So great group of guys going to be in induction.
When you think about, as I mentioned, that Mike Martz team, and you had Kurt Warner, you had Marshall Faulk and Torrey Holt, I mean, just how fun was that, that you guys knew every day you might put up a 50-burger?
Oh, it was fun, man. It was tremendously fun. I mean, we were definitely challenged from a cerebral process of getting a game plan, practicing on Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and a Friday, and going out and executing on Sunday. And I think the biggest part of it is that we truly enjoyed the success of one another. When, you know, Marshall got in the end zone, Torrey got in the end zone, Kurt made a great pass, we truly celebrated with each other genuinely, and some great days. And, you know, every time we get together, we have an opportunity to just reminisce and just really congratulate each other and give each other flowers while we're here.
Very cool. And then, of course, especially in the 70s before you played, but the blood feud between the Niners and the Rams. Mike Martz goes to the Niners. You go to the Niners. And as, I don't know, as bad blood, I didn't think the Rams, from I remember, wanted you to take a pay cut or something. But how weird was that? Suddenly you got Niner fans loving you when they were hating you before.
Well, you know what? It's always weird when you see, you know, certain legends that, you know, really created names and space for themselves in one city, and end up retiring from different teams. We saw greats like Emmitt Smith do it. We saw greats like Tim Brown. He did it. And, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, it was a business move, nothing personal. I still wanted to play football. I could still produce at a high level and thought I could contribute to a team, but just the reality of it, sitting on a bench surrounded by 49ers, it's not a feeling that I really, really embrace or reminisce about much.
I remember when Barry Bonds came to the Giants, and he had always worn 24 in Pittsburgh. It was his godfather Willie Mays' number, and of course it was retired, and Willie Mays said, "I'll give you permission to wear it," and then he's like, "Ah, I can't do it," so he took his dad's 25. And it was kind of the same thing with you. Like, Jerry was like, "Go ahead, take 80 and you're like, "Ah, I can't do it," right?
You know, it's a respect level on the highest of levels. I mean, you know, Jerry was one of the best wide receivers, best football players to play our sport, and you know, he set the standard for a lot of years. And you know, I thought, you know, once that number was done, and once he was done with it, no one else should have the pleasure of wearing it. I mean, not even in practice. So I wanted to honor Jerry and give him that respect because I truly think he deserved it, and I wanted to be part of that respect given to him.
Very cool. And one more football question. I know at some point you were the last Los Angeles Ram. Of course, now they've moved back, and as an Oakland guy, I'm trying to think who the last Oakland Raider is going to be. I mean, it breaks my heart. Ooh, Derek Carr or whoever. Yeah. But what about going back to the Rams, retiring as a Ram, and then just seeing them back in Los Angeles again?
Well, you know, I wasn't surprised with the move. I mean, initially in 1994, I was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams, and we moved to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You know, I played the bulk of my career there in St. Louis. A lot of great memories, great fans, very knowledgeable, not only in the sport of football, but baseball and hockey as well. But to see the Rams go back to Los Angeles, I mean, it's kind of fitting. I grew up, you know, watching the Los Angeles Rams. I was a great fan of greats like Henry Ellard, Flipper Anderson, Eric Dickerson, of course. And they were Los Angeles Rams, and they did a lot of great things. Just being in that Southern California niche in that area, in that space, is very suitable for the Los Angeles Rams. And I think it pretty much worked out for the team with the move.
No doubt about it. We're speaking with Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce. Okay, let's talk about, I mean, we all grew up reading Dr. Seuss here in the United States. Tell us what's going on with this right now.
Well, Dr. Seuss, and his birthday is coming up, as you mentioned. We're celebrating it in collaboration with the NFLPA and the Dr. Seuss Enterprises. We're actually going out to local schools. I live in South Florida, and I get the chance to go to a local elementary school and read a Dr. Seuss book. I think Dr. Seuss's books have been around for generations. We've all had an opportunity to read a Dr. Seuss book. I think after the Bible, I think the Dr. Seuss book was the very next book I started to read. So I think it's a book that really creates and really pushes and ignites imagination. And they've done a tremendous job throughout generations to really impact young minds and young readers. So anytime that's happening, I love being a part of it. And I'm going to put my name and my hat and some of my time into creating more readers.
We're getting ready for the combine going on right now, and I'm just thinking about college football from the days you played to now, which is basically if your coach yells at you, you can just transfer, and you don't have to leave when you're a junior because you can make millions. Do you kind of think back back in our day, we had to go to junior college and really grind for it, you know? But, I mean, if this was our era, we'd probably be doing the same thing. So what do you think about this NIL transfer portal era?
I from a player standpoint, I think it's great. I think it's a great opportunity for the young men to reach their goals a lot sooner in life than normal, than the normalcy that we had. I think that the play is now in the development of players is not only on the coaches, but on the players as well with the NIL and the portal. Because you have to be really, really serious about, you know, what you want out of this game. Do you want to develop and become more mature in the position that you play, be a quarterback, wide receiver, or defensive line specialist? Do you want to be a person that can really mature at those positions and get taught the right way? Now your choice is, can I go to Oregon? Can I go to Memphis? Because this particular coach is there, and I feel like he can get me to that next level as far as my play is concerned. So I think a lot of schools are setting up that way now. I mean, you saw the addition of Marshall Faulk over at the University of Colorado. I think any young running back in the country would love to go to Colorado, wherever they're from, and learn from a Pro Football Hall of Famer like Marshall Faulk as far as how to see the game, how to anticipate, how to take advantages of defenses, and really just become an all-around running back. So I think that part of it is great. I think the money part is also great. And, it couldn't have come at a better time. I think, it forces coaches to be able to communicate a lot better than they had in the past.
You know, I think about Super Bowl 34. It's hard to believe it was 25 years ago. But, I mean, we all remember, and as a Raider fan, Al Davis took this guy, Mike Jones, who was playing running back at Missouri, turned him into a linebacker, and, he stops Kevin Dyson on the one-yard line. But if it wasn't for that, and it was a great game, but it wasn't for that, I mean, most people remember your 75-yard touchdown, whatever that was. I mean, do you ever sitting in traffic thinking, damn, I had a touchdown pass over 70 yards in the Super Bowl. I did that.
a beautiful moment, not only for myself, but for the Rams organization, my teammates, the guys that I played with. And, as a kid, as you're growing up and you fall in love with football, I can just imagine the young Cooper Cups of the world, you know, when they're in their backyard, they were always a wide receiver catching a game-winning touchdown pass in a Super Bowl. And fortunately, I had the privilege of actually expressing that and manifesting that in my life. So I'm always grateful to God about it. And those are some of the memories that I bring up anytime I'm asked to come speak somewhere. You know, I talk about those moments and just those moments that are now cemented in my thinking, and hopefully a lot of, you know, Ram fans' thinkings and fans of football, because Super Bowl 34 was one of the greatest games, I believe the only or the first game, Super Bowl game, to go into overtime, or close to going into overtime at that moment.
Yeah, that was one of the most exciting. Last question for you. Some people get a Super Bowl, World Series ring, Stanley Cup, whatever, and they put it in a safe deposit box, and they don't want to brag. And other people are like, oh, hell no, I'm rocking that thing. I'll wear that thing to 7-Eleven. So how are you with your bling?
Well, I think I'm a one where, you know, anytime you mention the greatest show on turf, or any type of reunion, when the Rams bring us back, the actual baseball St. Louis Cardinals brought us all back to St. Louis.
Wow.
Listen, my ring is going to be on my finger. you know, I'm looking for my coats. I'm looking for my charm bracelets that they gave us, some of my bags. And I want to represent it that way because it was a special moment. I mean, truly a moment that not many of us will forget. So, yeah, I represent it that way. You know, it's a great conversation piece. And I get an opportunity to really share about who I am and my beliefs when I have my Super Bowl ring on my finger.
Very cool. Want to remind everyone, on March 3rd, Dr. Seuss Enterprises teaming up with Creative Mind Productions and NFL Players for the 9th annual Tackle Reading event, and every school visited by a current or NFL alumnus will receive a diverse collection of Random House children books, and every kid will get their own Dr. Seuss book as well, which will have fun elements like NFL team mascots, cheerleaders, and more. Isaac, thanks for coming on, man. It was great talking ball with you. Continued good work, and let's catch up down the road, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.